This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Just a few hours to go until President Barack Obama and Republican challenger Mitt Romney meet in Denver for what could be one of the most watched presidential debates in recent memory.
But local politics are not to be eclipsed. If you look around New England, you'll find a number of noteworthy races, that could matter more on the ground than the big race for the White House. So we're going to take a look at four of those races, starting first in Rhode Island.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the message that Mr. Doherty is putting forth, you know, is not resonating with Rhode Islanders. He's a Romney Republican.
Just in the sports analogy, this will, you know, just like the Patriots yesterday, they were behind and boy, they came back.
Are you Tom Brady?
I'm not saying that we're going to score six touchdowns in the next 5 weeks, but I believe we'll win this race.
So you just heard Democratic Representative David Cicilline, an openly gay incumbent, trading barbs with his Republican challenger, Brendan Doherty. And to tell us more about this race in Rhode Island is Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Good to have you back on the show, Scott.
Oh, great to be with you folks.
So tell us, what's this race like in the last, going into the last month before November?
Well, it's a fascinating district. First of all, it's one of the most diverse in New England. It runs from the seen better days old textile factory towns in the Blackstone Valley, such as Pawtucket and Woonsocket, through the city of Providence, where it takes in both the liberal, leafy neighborhoods around Brown University and the grittier neighborhoods that are now home to the state's emerging Latino vote. Then it runs down suburbia through the east side of Narragansett Bay to the Gilded Age mansions and ocean views of places like Newport and Jamestown. It was a 66% Obama district last time. There have been some changes due to redistricting, mainly to favor the Democrats. So what Brendan Doherty, the Republican, has to do, he's got to convince about 40 or 50,000 voters who are probably going to vote for the president to split their tickets and vote for him. In the last 70 years, this seat's only been held by Republicans for 6 years. And, of course, before Cicilline took it over, it was held by Patrick Kennedy for 16 years. Mm-hmm. He, of course, was the son of Ted Kennedy.
So, Scott, tell me, if it's 66% went for Obama last time, does that mean that that Brendan Doherty, do you think he has a chance? Or, David Cicilline has a record in Congress now. Is Doherty going after that record, and is it making any inroads amongst the voters?
Cicilline doesn't have much of a record in Congress. He's a freshman. However, here is what Doherty's focusing on, and everybody has. In Cicilline's last year as mayor of Providence, he campaigned for Congress, and he said the city's finances were excellent. Well, it turned out they weren't. And in fact, he left behind a deficit of about $100 million, which really hurt his credibility, and his approval numbers were way, way down. What Cicilline's done to storm back is he had a primary challenger, Anthony Gemma, a businessman who ran a horrible campaign, totally negative. Cicilline beat him, scored 62 or 3% of the vote, and jump-started his election. And now what Cicilline's focused on is national issues. All he wants to talk about is labeling Doherty as a Romney Republican and a big, dirty Republican nationally. Mm. And, of course, Doherty, who's a Republican, he is a lifelong state police officer who rose through the ranks to become superintendent of state police. And he's tried to get out from under this Republican banner by pointing out often that I'm not a Tea Party person, I'm my own man. He compares himself to Scott Brown. He often compares himself to the late, and sainted John Chafee, longtime mm-hmm. senator from Rhode Island, who was a well-known national moderate. One of the problems is that John Chafee's son, Lincoln Chafee, is an independent now. He left the Republican Party. He's the governor now, and he, in fact, has endorsed Cicilline.
Scott McKay is the political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio. Thanks so much for that view from Rhode Island, Scott.
Thank you.
And now on to Connecticut.
This is a very winnable and important race. We also need more women in the Republican Senate who understand our economy and the free enterprise system.
So that was Arizona Senator John McCain, who was in Connecticut Monday to support a high-profile Senate candidate, Republican Linda McMahon, We're joined now by WNPR News Director and host of Where We Live, John Dankosky, joins us to talk about that race. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, Anthony?
Good. Good to hear you. So tell us about this smackdown between wrestling executive Linda McMahon, who tried a few years ago to win that race, and Democrat Chris Murphy.
It only took you a few seconds to lay the smackdown, huh? Well, look, it's basically a toss-up, which is a kind of a surprise to us, and we're actually waiting for a new poll that's out tomorrow from Quinnipiac University that should have more information on this race. I don't think I've ever covered a race that's been less about the issues than this one. Basically, if you go back to 2010, Linda McMahon, self-financed candidate, spent about $50 million only to lose pretty badly to Democrat Richard Blumenthal. This time she hasn't spent quite as much money, but still more than $12 million and counting on a series of negative campaign ads and flyers. But along the way, Anthony, she's also gotten better as a candidate. She's been running pretty consistently for this office for years now. Almost everyone in the state knows who she is. And that's not really the case for Chris Murphy. He's represented the 5th District here in Congress since 2007. He's well-known in the western part of the state, but he's not as well-known everywhere else. He has a lot less money to spend, and he's really let McMahon define him in some of her ads. Some news came out a few weeks ago about how Murphy fell behind in his mortgage payments and a foreclosure action had started against him. McMahon tried to turn that into a story about what she considered a sweetheart deal by a local bank, and you might remember that a similar issue started the demise of longtime Senator Chris Dodd. So Murphy's been spending his time and money trying to remind people that McMahon went into bankruptcy back in the 1970s.
So he's vulnerable. I think one of the things that's surprising to me is Connecticut went 22 points in favor of Obama in 2008. Mitt Romney's not even registering in polls down there, practically speaking. So surprising that Republican McMahon is doing so well.
But I think that's the key, is Linda McMahon is not really running as a Republican. Sure, she is a Republican. She's on the Republican line of the ticket here, but she's not talking about Republican politics. As we heard from John McCain, came to Connecticut just this week, it was the most close alignment that she's had to the Republican Party this entire campaign. She didn't even go to the Paul Ryan fundraisers that actually happened across the state earlier this week.
Very interesting. John Dankosky, news director at WNPR in Hartford, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And now on to Maine. Earlier this year, Republican Senator Olympia Snowe announced she will not run again, in part because of the rule of partisan politics in Washington.
You know, they're not red-blue issues, they're American issues. And I think that's really the way we've got to look at the various political questions, rather than just a draw, you know, a stalemate.
And yet, the three-way race to fill her seat has not been an entirely genteel affair. Joining us is Susan Sharon, Deputy News Director for Maine Public Broadcasting. Susan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, interestingly, the race in Maine, former independent Governor Angus King had a lead, but that lead is shrinking. Why? What's going on?
Well, he's been barraged by negative ads from Republicans and outside groups. You know, he's a very popular governor. He hasn't been in politics for about 10 years. He served two terms at a time when the economy was doing very well. Decided to come back into politics when Olympia Snowe said she was going to resign after her third term. And now the challenge for the Republicans and Democrats in this open seat is Angus King. His two leading opponents in this, it's a six-way race, a Republican Charlie Summers, who's the current Secretary of State. He's run unsuccessfully for higher office before. And Democratic State Senator Cynthia Dill, who has served in the legislature since 2006, but only in the Senate for the past year. So people don't know her as well either. And it's an odd and fascinating race for many reasons, but primarily because King is perceived as a Democrat. He supports President Obama and the Affordable Care Act and some other key Democratic issues, but he refuses to say which party he'll caucus with if he goes to Washington.
Susan, let me ask you briefly, and on that point, I mean, this was a race that the national Democrats were looking at. They were practically salivating, thinking they could win back a Senate seat for the Democrats, and yet that may not happen. So it seems to have put the national party into conniptions. How is that being reflected on the ground in Maine?
Well, how it's being affected on the ground in Maine is that the national Democrats are not coming to Cynthia Dill's rescue, the lower-tier Democrat. What happened is that when Angus King decided to get into the race because of his popularity, some of the bigger-named Democrats did not. And because of the fact that he's perceived as a Democrat, the Republicans are now spending their time hitting him with these negative ads and trying to get and actually spending money on Dill to try to get Dill to rise in the polls so she can – siphon votes away from King for the Republican.
So Republicans spending money on behalf of Democrats to beat an incumbent in Maine. Love it. Susan Sharon, Deputy News Director at the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Thanks so much, Susan.
Thank you.
Finally, let's move on to New Hampshire. And joining us is WMUR.com's political analyst, James Spindle. Hi, James.
Hey, hello. Welcome from the Grand State.
Well, good to hear you. Let's talk quickly about your race for governor. It pits Republican Ovid LaMontagne against Democrat Maggie Hassan. They're fighting to replace a very popular governor, John Lynch, the Democrat who is not seeking re-election after four terms. So how's that race shaping up?
Remember, globally here, New Hampshire was the one holdout in New England as a Republican stronghold, and about 15 years ago, changing demographics and the rise of independent voters, as well as a shift in the Republican Party to the South and West on more cultural values, have meant that this state is a toss-up, basically even between Republicans and Democrats. And this governor's race is not, no doubt, is a toss-up as also. Last night, we had a new WMUR Granite State poll done by the University of New Hampshire showing a two-point race with a lot of people still undecided as to who they're going to vote for. This is a classic New Hampshire governor's race where it's either the question is the race defined by taxes and spending? And if it is, then the Republican is going to win. Or is it defined by anything else? Is it defined by social issues or different values or environmental concerns or anything else? And so that is sort of the dynamic we've been watching. And if you can tell me which question we're answering, I can tell you which candidate's going to win.
Okay. Let's move on very quickly to presidential politics. You mentioned New Hampshire, the classic toss-up state. Of course, key swing state. Polls have shown President Obama and challenger Mitt Romney running very close for months. Suddenly, a series of polls suggest the president has opened up a significant lead there. What's going on?
That's correct. I mean, this has been, you know, Mitt Romney held the lead here until the New Hampshire primary, and then all year, Barack Obama has been up basically within the margin of error. In the last 2 weeks, you've seen a series of polls basically showing the president up between 5%, 6%, 7%, and then Monday night we came out with our poll showing him up by 15, which is still, to be fair, an outlier. But there's no doubt within the Romney camp that Mitt Romney is winning this state. We just disagree on how much.
WMUR.com's political analyst James Spindle, thanks so much.
It's an honor.
So that's a political roundup from New England states. Let us know what you think, listeners, at radioboston.org. Up next, the boom in Boston-based app developers. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.